Yes, it has been known for many years that humpback whales use bubbles to trap fish in order to eat them thousands at a time. Either one whale or a group of whale will dive deep into the ocean, and then they'll swim upwards in a spiral, releasing bubbles. This generates a cylindrical wall of bubbles, perhaps 30 meters in diameter, but the inside of this cylinder is relatively clear of bubbles. And it has been observed for many years that fish can be trapped inside this bubble-free interior of the cylinder. The whales rise up from beneath with their mouths open in what we call lunge feeding, and they just eat up all the fish. No one knows why the fish don't escape. There have been theories that say fish don't like swimming through bubbly water, but this doesn't make all that much sense because we have always seen fish swimming through waves and waterfalls and such like. I theorized that what might be happening is that the fish are trapped inside this bubble net because sound made by the whales is trapped within the walls of the net but doesn't enter the center of the bubble net. I discussed this with two of my colleagues, Simon Richards and Paul White, and we did some calculations, and it does indeed appear that the calls that the whales make when they are feeding and generating these bubble nets can become trapped in the wall of the net. The big question, I think, is why does the trapping of these calls keep the fish from crossing the wall? Well, the... Hello? Okay, that's fine. Yes. So, we imagine now that we have this cylinder of bubbles, and inside it, the fish are trapped. And we have to ask ourselves why it is that the sounds that the whales make stop the fish from crossing the wall. Well, these sounds are not the relaxing and gentle whale song that you can buy on tape recordings to help you relax. The specific calls that the whales make when they are feeding are very loud, trumpeting calls. They are extremely loud, and if you're in a ship nearby, they resound through the hull. Now, if you imagine the fish is in the center of the bubble net where it is silent, if it tries to leave the bubble net, it enters the walls where the bubbles are and where the sound is trapped. So it goes from a silent region to a region where there is a very loud sound which may even resonate with the swim bladders of the fish and be very uncomfortable. This startles the fish, and when fish are startled, their instinctive response is to form a tight school, tight pack of fish. This is normally an instinct that helps them survive and stops them being eaten. But by using a bubble net, the whales turn this survival instinct into an anti-survival instinct, something which gets them eaten, because the fish form a tight meal ready for the whales to eat. Of course, yes, that's a possibility. The way to understand this is to notice that whales are not the only creatures that release bubbles to herd fish in order to eat them. Dolphins also do this, but this raises a very interesting question, because dolphins, their main sense underwater is sound, the sonar. That is their equivalent of sight. And yet if their sonar were no better than the man-made sonar that, for example, the Navy use, then releasing bubbles when they're feeding would be the equivalent of blinding themselves when they hunt, because man-made sonar would not be able to detect targets such as fish in such bubbly waters. Since the dolphins are very unlikely to be blinding themselves when they hunt for fish, this suggests that dolphin sonar may be operating in bubbly water that naval sonar cannot. So that if we look at the way dolphins use their sonar, this may have applications to finding targets in bubbly water. This has immediate applications in, for example, military mine detection. In the last 10 years, the place where military warfare has moved to has gone from being deep water to very shallow water, such as the Gulf, as we've seen. The other area where it's of interest is in biomedical ultrasonic scanning, where, for example, we can think about the ways that we use sound in producing images of the baby in the womb and how that might help. For example, there is a method called ultrasonic contrast agents, where tiny bubbles are injected into the blood so that the blood forms a very bright image when we have a baby scan. Now, if, for example, you have twins in the womb, you are familiar with the process of using ultrasound to see babies in the womb? Yeah. Well, if you have two babies in the womb, twins, then if they share the same placenta, blood can, for example, flow from one baby into another. And that can be dangerous. That can result in the loss of both babies. So there is an experimental research process at the moment whereby if you inject bubbles, tiny, tiny bubbles, into one twin, if you see them appear in the other twin, in the ultrasound image, then you know that this transfusion is taking place. And this is a useful technique because blood does not show very clearly on the ultrasound scan, but if you inject bubbles into it, it shows up very strongly on the ultrasound scan. It forms very bright images in the scan picture. What they're even starting to do now is look then at the placenta and try and find which blood vessel is responsible for the transfer of blood from one twin to another. And you could then seal that blood vessel, prevent the transfer of blood from one twin to another, and save both twins. So that is an example of how we use the scattering of sound from bubbles in a biomedical scenario. Of course. Okay. Goodbye.